from Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 to 15. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is God's word.
Good morning, Olivet. So, quick question for you. What's in a name? Is it quite interesting that some people's names have this uncanny knack of revealing quite a lot about their personality, sometimes about their profession, and even sometimes about their nature or their character? So I'm going to give you two examples today. First one is from the world of politics and business, a tough world where it's a bit of a dog-eat-dog culture and, you know, you kind of have to trample on people to get ahead, and you've kind of got to trumpet yourself to really make a point and show people how great you are. And, you know, you've kind of got to really put yourself out there very, very loudly in order to beat the competition. And it actually helps in a situation like that to have a name like Trump. Okay? You're just able to trumpet yourself, and you're able to trample over everybody else to get ahead. So maybe, just maybe, somebody's name says quite a lot about their personality. Now the next one is one which, if you don't believe me, you can check with my wife. She can verify that this is true. You can go on the internet as well and go and check it out. You know that I'm from South Africa. In South Africa there is a very well-known funeral home run by two partners. The one's name is, and I'm being honest, Human, and the other one's name is Pitt. So the name of this funeral home is Human and Pitt. So if you think about it, again, very, very apt. You guys clearly don't believe me. I can just sense. You can go online. The name of this funeral home is actually Human and Pitt. It is there. So names reveal, can sometimes reveal quite a lot. But a little bit more seriously, think of it, of the one name that Jesus uses the most, the one name that is on the lips of the disciples most often when referring to God is Father. God's known by many, many names, great names that reveal quite a lot about who he is. But the one that is the most intimate and the one that is the most precious to Jesus and the disciples is Father. An important name. A name that is used in order to convey something about who God is so that we get to see him, his character, his personality, but also his care. Quite a lot in the name. So what picture does Jesus present of God the Father to us? Very, very interesting. He tells us right there in verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. So in other words, he's presenting this wonderful picture of God as a Father who is alert and watchful, and God as a Father who is attentive and focused on all of our needs. And then he prays some bold things. If you read it, it's actually pretty bold. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. They almost sound as though he's not just requesting, but he's insisting upon something. And the reason he's insisting upon it, because these are things that are essential to God's very nature. Jesus knows he can ask these. He can ask these boldly, because God is a Father who watches over us. God is a Father who is alert and is focused and is always caring. So it gives Jesus this boldness in prayer. And in those, we actually see that there are at least four key actions that are expected of a good father. So you guys have to feel for me today, okay? Because I am speaking as a father on Father's Day. And the two people who can attest to whether I measure up slightly to this or not are actually in the congregation right at the back there, okay? My son and my daughter are there. So as I'm preaching this particular sermon, I'm very, very conscious of the fact that my rating committee is sitting right over there. So I've got to be very careful about what I say. So I'm going to preface what I say by saying that these are the things that we know are expected of a good father. And I'm putting them out today, not as a way to make you feel guilty, but just as a reminder of the fact that these are great qualities and that these qualities reflect who God is. So what are those key actions expected of a good father? I mean, they're right there in the prayer. A good father provides for us. We expect that, don't we? A good father also, interestingly from this prayer, models mercy and forgiveness. What else does a good father do? Leads us faithfully and well. And again, one of those things that we kind of expect a good father to do, a good father protects us. So for me, as I was kind of preparing for this, I thought, that's actually pretty neat. Because Jesus kind of gives them the summary statement of what God is like. Right at the beginning, he says, your father knows what you need before you ask. So he's giving us the sense that a good father is a father who is fully engaged, who anticipates and responds to what we need. Wonderful picture. Amen? Okay. Now, I can end my sermon there. Great sermon. Thank you very much. But I need to go just a little bit deeper. Why does Jesus focus on these? We need to drill down to just kind of get to why Jesus chooses of all the things that he could have prayed for. And this is a model prayer that he's giving to the disciples here. Of all the things, these are the things that he actually chooses to zero in on. And I think that the reason he does that is that they show God's care for those important core areas of who we are as people, of our personhood. Let me just unpack that a little bit. And as I mentioned, this is a model prayer. So the disciples are kind of asking, well, teach us to pray. And Jesus actually gives them this model. So this is a paradigm prayer. But I think that in giving a model, Jesus is not only teaching them how to pray, but in the prayer itself serves as a model of who God is as Father. So it's a model prayer, but it's also a model of God. Great example that the Lord gives us here. So the first one is, give us our daily bread. And I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to kind of figure out what the Lord is speaking about there. He's talking about providing our physical, our everyday needs. Food, shelter, clothing, all these things. These things a good parent provides. These things a good father is meant to provide. And I think we get that. But the next two are just maybe a little bit, but more subtle, maybe just a little bit more deeper. Then he goes and he says, forgive us our debts. And that's actually an interesting one. We know that God is God and he is moral and holy. And when we transgress his laws, we've got to ask for forgiveness. But today I kind of want to turn that picture around and say in that God is actually presenting something to us as fathers that we can actually emulate and model. And so Jesus prays, forgive us our debts. And in there is the fact that as good fathers, we are meant to be mindful about the emotional and the psychological well-being and health of our children. So you can ask me, interesting take, Pastor, but where do you get that from? Well, I'm sure I don't have to explain this to you, but our kids mess up from time to time. Okay? And sometimes they do bad things, sometimes they do silly things, and they get themselves into trouble. Sometimes they can do really very, very bad things. And life can really, for them and for us as families, take quite a difficult turn. But God is reminding us that what is important is that in our care and our love for our kids, forgiveness is an important part of that. Why? And I think that today quite a lot of people have a lot of emotional and psychological health issues because they carry guilt. And guilt often stems from a lack of forgiveness. They've done wrong, but the parents hold it against their kids. And they don't model that mercy and that forgiveness. And that can lead to emotional and psychological harm for our children. So as parents, we are meant to discipline our kids. We're not given a free pass on that particular one. But in that disciplining, God reminds us that it's important for us to model his nature and to show his character. And his character is a character of mercy and a character of forgiveness. And as a good father, he extends that forgiveness in order that we can be restored. So I'm putting this out there to us as fathers. One of the ways in which we can model who God is by exercising discipline with our children, but making sure that that discipline is always tinged with mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. Because in that way, we show God's heart. And it reminds me of that example of Moses, the example that got him into trouble back in the desert, in the wilderness with the Israelites, when God asked him to do something and he got so really angry, and he had a right to be angry, and he strikes the rock and he thinks he's fully justified in striking the rock. And God says, "You haven't represented me well before my people." Why? Because maybe, just maybe, Moses forgot to also include in there God's mercy, God's forgiveness. That's also part of who God is. So, fathers, and this is not just for fathers, this is for mothers, but given that this is Father's Day, I thought it would be good for us just to focus on the fact that our kids' emotional and psychological well-being also depends on how we model fatherhood to them. And forgiveness, compassion, and mercy is an important part of that. Amen. Then Jesus also prays, "Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil." In other words, as fathers, as parents, we are meant to watch over the moral and spiritual well-being and formation of our kids. We are meant to steer them in the right direction. How do we do that? By setting a positive example and role modeling God's nature, God's character to our kids. And we are also meant to protect them from evil influences. An important thing today for us is to realize that the world that we live in is not a neutral place. It is not a neutral place. Our kids are getting different kinds of messages, different kinds of influences all the time. And we need to recognize that we need to help them steer a course through that which is godly and wise. That is part of our responsibility as parents. That is what God expects of us. So we've got to protect them from those evil forces out there that are out there to hurt and to harm them, to destroy them as children, but also to damage the family unit. So we have an awesome responsibility as parents to protect our kids, to lead them well morally, but also to protect them from those influences. And I'm just thinking today, I mean, as fathers and as parents, what are the things, and I'll get probably very practical here, the ways in which we do that. Pay attention to what your kids are watching on TV. Okay? Pay attention to the kinds of video games they choose to play. Pay attention to those kind of things. Pay attention to what they're consuming on the internet. We know that the internet is not a neutral place. And so many of us have fallen in that area. And we've got to protect our kids, their spiritual, their moral well-being. Pay attention to who their friends are at school. Pay attention to that. Pay attention to the people who they are inviting into their own personal social circle. Very important as parents. These things are not neutral. We've got to be like God. We've got to be active and fully engaged. We've got to be watchful and protective of that. At times, as I mentioned, we're going to have to discipline our kids, and that's fine. But make sure that the discipline is not so harsh that it gives them a distorted picture of who God is. And at times, we're going to have to make sure that we protect them and that as fathers, we lead them well. And we know that leading isn't just saying and pointing in a direction, but leading is walking that way so that others can follow after you. A great leader doesn't only point, a great leader leads. And your kids will follow. So, at the end of the day, pretty tough, pretty hard act to follow. Remember, God's a God of mercy. He knows that we're not always going to get it right. And thank goodness that God is a God of forgiveness and compassion. He forgives us when we slip up, and He restores us, modeling to us what His nature is like. But why does our example matter? So we have here in this prayer a picture of who God is as a father, and a picture for us as fathers what we should emulate. But why does our example matter so much? At the end of the day, you've got to ask the question, that's cool, that's interesting, Jesus. Thank you for teaching us to pray. Thank you for giving us those insights into the nature of the Father, but why does this matter so much? And I believe personally that the reason this matters so much and the reason that Jesus goes here in this model prayer is that the model that we present of fatherhood to our kids opens up our children to the possibility of responding to God's fatherly nature. And if I think about it today, many people will tell you the reason that they're not interested in the Christian message is that they've had a bad experience of parents who haven't really modeled who God is. So the reason that we need to do this very, very well is that if we model, as fathers, if we model what great fatherhood is, we actually open up our kids to be able to respond to the fatherhood of God well. And right at the beginning, part of that fatherhood, Jesus reminds us, is the fact that God is holy. Hallowed be your name. Which means that God is a God of moral goodness and of moral purity. And that is hard, particularly today. But if we do that wisely and we do that well, we set it up so that our kids are able to respond to that in a positive way. And then Jesus prays a little bit further, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. By doing that again as fathers, we role model a wonderful way for kids, for our children to see God's rule as something which is positive and as something which is good in their lives. We need to hear that as fathers, but we also need to model that to our kids. So I know I've taken the Lord's Prayer and I've given it a slightly different twist today. Normally we kind of see the Lord's Prayer as this example of who God is as Father for us. But in preparing for Father's Day, I thought it's a great example for us to see what God expects us to model of Himself to our kids and to our families so that they are able to respond to His fatherly care, to His fatherly goodness, as well as to His right over their lives in a really positive way. And we do that by being good, good fathers. Fathers, we carry a great name in the name Father. It's not just any old name. It's a name that points to the very character of God. Can I close with a story? An interesting story. True story. Story about Alexander the great Macedonian Grecian conqueror, and one of the great world empires, the Greek Empire. And we know that he was a great warrior, and he was sitting in judgment one day, and one of the things that he was known to really detest and to really hate was cowardice. Cowardice. So if you were caught running away from battle, you kind of knew that if you appeared before the conqueror, before the emperor, that was it. And there was this young man who was caught running away in the face of battle. And Alexander was sitting in court in judgment, and they brought this young man forward, and he asked, what is he here for? And they said, he ran away in the face of battle. The charge against him is cowardice. And people expected Alexander to really just say, kill him, that's the end. That's the judgment, that's the punishment. I don't want to see him, take him out of my sight. But they say that his countenance actually changed and he softened a little bit as he looked at this young man. It was a young man, he was a very timid and very, very afraid. And the emperor just looked at him and actually felt a little bit of compassion. And they thought, yes, this guy might just make it. And so Alexander looks at the young man and says, young man, what is your name? And the young man says very, very softly, Alexander, sir. And they say the emperor's face just changes. And his face becomes hard and he says, soldier, what is your name? And he goes, Alexander, sir. And the emperor looks at him with a fierce look and says, soldier, what is your name? And he says, Alexander, sir. And the emperor turns to him and says, young man, change your conduct or change your name. Good words, aren't they? You've got a name that represents me? That's not the name you should be carrying. God's given us as dads the wonderful privilege of being able to represent Him, not just to our kids, but to the world as fathers. The world needs good fathers. A lot of the brokenness in the world stems from the fact that families are broken, and a lot of that is because as fathers, sometimes we have really, really messed up. great thing is God is a God of mercy and God is a God of compassion. He can forgive us and He can restore us. But if you've got kids, He's giving you a wonderful example to be able to just emulate His character, His moral goodness and His holiness, but also His mercy and compassion. It reminds me of that great verse in James which says that with God, mercy triumphs over judgment. God will judge us because it is morally good, but at the bedrock of His nature is love and mercy, kindness and compassion. He's a God and a Father who cares for us, who is watchful, who is mindful, who is proactive, who is responsive. And that is the call that God places upon us as dads. So dads, we carry a great name. It's a tough responsibility to live up to. But the beauty is, we don't do it in our own strength. This model prayer of Jesus models for us the fact that we need to turn to God for our help and our strength. Shall you join me as I pray for fathers? Heavenly Father, You are truly a good, good Father. Thank You that You are a God who provides for us our every needs for clothing, for work, for food, for shelter, and Lord, everything that we need every day to live well. Thank You that we can turn to You and ask, O Lord, for You to provide these things, and that You are a good Father, that You promise to do that. Thank You that Your heart is a heart of mercy and compassion. Thank You, Lord, that You don't only model mercy, but You've shown mercy through Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, help us as fathers to lead our families well, to watch over them, to provide for them, but, O Lord, also to be an example of who You are to them, and, O Lord, to protect them from all the evil influences out there. Lord, we cannot do this in our own strength, and we cannot do this in our own wisdom. Thank You that You've given us Your Spirit to strengthen us. Thank You that You've given us Your Word to guide us. And thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are always watching over us. Watching over us as dads and helping us and watching over our families and caring for them. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks and praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Please stand up.